quietly. Needs a muffler, too. As Dan drove the rattling, growling Chevy to the ferry, he said to Passo, You know, Claude, you look kind of peaky.
Peaky?
Tired, overworked. What with the hurricane and all, you must be pretty stressed out. Are you saying that this would be a good time for me to take a vacation? Driving up the bumpy ramp onto the ferry, Dan said, I think so. The Riviera's very nice at this time of year. Passo smiled knowingly. Dan, my friend, don't you think it would be just a little conspicuous for an underpaid and overworked government official to take a vacation on the Riviera? Maybe, Dan conceded. Passo said nothing as the ferry chugged to life and pushed away from the pier. Dan felt the waves of the bay surging beneath them. Passo seemed unfazed by the chop. Actually, Passo said mildly, I believe it's time for me to return to my office in New Orleans. This investigation can be finished up from there.
No vacation? Dan asked.
Not at this time, Passo replied smoothly. Perhaps later, after my final report is finished.
I see.
If you're still in business by then.
Dan glowered at him.
That evening, April and Kelly Emmons planned their strategy.
This could be nothing at all,
April repeated for the 20th time as she dressed for her dinner date.
You said he was flashing a lot of money, Emmons said, sitting on April's bed.
He talked about a lot of money, April replied, pulling the sleeveless, sequined gunmetal top over her dark gray slacks.
He was sort of drunk.
In vino veritas, said Emmons.
But he wasn't just bragging about money, April said,
thinking back to her hurricane party conversation with Kinski.
He kept saying he had to take care of numero uno, feather his own nest, that sort of talk.
Resting her chin on her fists, Emmons said gloomily,
It's the only lead we've got.
April fastened a string of faux pearls around her throat, studied them for a moment in the full-length mirror on her closed closet door. The glittery, sleeveless top was high-necked, but she thought it looked kind of sexy nonetheless. The slim-cut slacks accentuated her legs without looking slutty. Trying to remember how tall Kinski was, she decided to wear low heels. Turning to Emmons, she asked,
Do you really think Len might have had something to do with Joe Tenney's death? And Pete Larson's?
Emmons's face was puckered into a frown of concentration.
From what you've told me about Kinski, no, frankly, I don't. Probably at worst he's taking money to keep somebody informed about what's happening inside Astro.
Like a spy?
Industrial espionage. Happens all the time.
If Tricontinental and this Japanese firm are maneuvering to take over Astro, it makes sense that one of them would want an informant inside the company. Possibly both of them. April shook her head and went into the bathroom to put the final touches on her makeup.
That makes me a counter-spy, then?
She called through the open bathroom door.
You just be damn careful with him,
Emmons said, getting up and walking to the door.
He might be just an informant, but the people he's talking to could be damned dangerous.
I know,
April said without turning her head from the mirror above the sink.
Just be your charming self. Listen a lot, talk a little. I'll follow you at a discreet distance.
Pressing her lips together to blot her lipstick, April asked,
Do I look okay?
You look terrific, said Emmons with a sly grin. I wouldn't mind taking you to New York myself.
April felt her cheeks burn. Houston, Texas. Even though the long-distance connection was scratchy with crackling interference, Roberto could hear sudden anxiety in Al-Bashir's voice.
They've put fuel into the space plane?
That's what my contact told me, Roberto said in his stolid, no-nonsense way. He claims they did this last night.
He had no way of knowing where Al-Bashir was. The Tunisian had phoned him at their regular prearranged time. It was a satellite connection, though, Roberto figured, because there was this little hesitation between his talking and Al-Bashir's answering.
It could be part of a test, I suppose.
There's something else, said Roberto.
Before Al-Bashir could respond, he went on,
Their top engineer and some of her crew left on a company jet.
Again the brief lag, then,
Left? Where are they going?
My contact don't know. He says he's gonna find out tonight. Got a date with Randolph's secretary.
This time the hesitation from al-Bashir was longer than usual. Perhaps you should get down there.
Matagorda?
Yes.
I'll fly to Houston in a day or so. You stay close to your contact and that secretary.
You want me to handle her?
No, not yet. But I want you close enough to deal with her and your contact quickly, if the need arises.
Uh-huh.
If the need arises, al-Bashir repeated, you are not to act unless I tell you to. So why I gotta go to Matagorda, then?
He could hear the irritation in al-Bashir's voice.
So that you can be close enough to strike quickly if and when I tell you to.
Roberto nodded.
Okay, I'll go down there tomorrow. Just lay low. Stay at the motel. Don't draw attention to yourself.
Yeah, okay. But Roberto heard the words, strike quickly, repeating over and over again in his mind. He had seen Randolph's secretary. Kinski was a wimp. Taking care of him would be a snap, but the secretary was something else. Taking care of her would be fun. In his palatial home on the outskirts of Tunis, al-Bashir put down the phone, his thoughts swirling. Randolph has the space plane ready to launch, but his top engineer and some of her crew have left Matagorda. Why? What is Randolph up to? He picked up the phone again and jabbed at one of the buttons. The phone buzzed four times before a sleepy voice answered,
"Yes, sir."
1:23 in the morning, al-Bashir saw from the ornate clock on the wall opposite his desk.
"Wake up, Ali," he snapped.
"I'm awake, sir. Fully awake, sir."
"Listen carefully," said al-Bashir. "I want you to contact each member of my special operations team. Tell them they must be ready to move to Marseille within a moment's notice. Do you understand?"
"A moment's notice, yes, sir."
"At 8 o'clock this morning, you will phone the operations center outside Marseille."
8 o'clock, yes, sir."
"Tell them to prepare for receiving my team. Find out how long they will require to be fully operational."
"Yes, sir."
"I'm going to bed now. When I awake, I will expect you to have done these tasks."
"They will be done, sir."
"I will expect a full report from you."
"Yes, sir. I will be prepared whenever you call."
"Good.
Have a pleasant night's sleep, sir."
Al-Bashir detected just the slightest hint of irony in the voice of his faithful servant. Well, he thought, Ali isn't going to get much sleep tonight. He's entitled to a little resentment, I suppose. But heaven help him if he hasn't completed his tasks to my satisfaction. With that, al-Bashir got up from his desk and headed for his bedroom, trying to decide which of his women he wanted tonight. Flying 37,000 feet above the Gulf of Mexico, Lynn Van Buren cranked her seat as far back as it would go and tried to get some sleep. But she was far too excited even to close her eyes. She had never been to Venezuela. Only two of her five-person crew spoke any Spanish at all. Dan's going to outfox all of them, she thought. He's going to launch the space plane, fly several orbits, and land it in Caracas. Hot spit. He's got more balls than the Mongol hordes and the U.S. Marines put together. The twin jet Citation couldn't make it all the way from Matagorda to Caracas without a refueling stop in Florida. Van Buren gave up any pretense of sleeping and peered out of the plane's tiny round window at a tropical moon riding along silvered clouds. Down in the plane's cargo hold was the guidance and control equipment that they would use to monitor the space plane's landing. If the bird deviated from its preset flight plan, Van Buren and her people could take active control from the ground. Dan had at first told Van Buren that they would have to work from a boat out in the harbor of La Guaira, the port city for Caracas. But apparently Dan's Venezuelan contact, somebody high up in the local government, had promised them tight security at the airport itself. They could handle the flight much better from the airport, Van Buren knew. Besides, she didn't relish the idea of trying to handle the mission while bobbing up and down in some boat. The Citation landed at Florida's Southwest International Airport just outside Fort Myers, refueled, and then took off for its run to Caracas. Van Buren finally fell asleep,
and only woke up when the sudden thump